Hallelujah. Welcome to church once again. And I think, I know that we have been blessed so far. And if we say the grace and we go home, we'll be glad that we were in church. Amen. But you can only be glad if you open your heart to praise Him and if you open your heart to see what He is doing. Hallelujah. Last week, James chapter 5. Last week, we were talking about God answers prayers. We had James chapter 5, verse 16. We also looked at the story of Anna. In James chapter 5, 16, the Bible says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Amen. It says the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. We looked at the story of Anna, and we found that Anna, in 1 Samuel chapter 1, read through verse 9 to 18. And at the end, the Bible says, records in this portion of scripture, that Anna went before the Lord sorrowful. She poured out her heart to God, so much so that she was not audible. Okay? So the priest could not hear. No one heard her praying, except that they saw her mouth moving. And then the priest said to her, how long will you be drunk? Thinking that she was in a state of incoherence and had lost her senses. But she was actually being fervent in prayer, pouring out her heart to God. Amen. Now she went sorrowful and she came back a happy person. The Bible records in the last portion of that 1 Samuel, I think that's chapter 1, and then he says, then in verse 18, then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition, which you have asked of him. And she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went away and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Hallelujah. So she went sorrowful. She came back a happy person. But physically, she had no child in her hand. But in her spirit, she had concluded that at this point, she had made her prayers. She had a breakthrough in her spirit, and it was a done deal. She had that much confidence. Hallelujah. Amen. We all know trying to open my notes since so. Hallelujah. If you go to Hebrews chapter 12, and we look from verse 1, it says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. Amen. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And when we look at Hebrews chapter 11, it talked about the elders of faith. It says in verse 5, says by faith, Hebrews 11 from verse 5, says by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had his testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen. Let's hold on to verse 6, okay?
put it in your left hand so that you won't eat with it. Abi? So verse 6 is in your left. Okay. Then verse 7 says, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. He also talked that by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Hallelujah. Verse 6 says that without faith it is possible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Okay? And verse 9 says that it was the end, or verse 10 says, for he waited for the city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So first off, when you approach God in faith, he rewards those that diligently seek him. Okay? And the word diligence is not hard work. Hallelujah. Is effort that knows no obstacle. That's how I'll put it. So when you do something diligently, it's irrespective of what you are facing while you are doing it. Hallelujah. Because you think and you know that there's an end beyond whatever you are facing at that point. So when people work, they tell you that someone is diligent at his work. It's not that he gets to work at 8 o'clock and leaves at 5, which is the normal time, but that everything that he's asked to do, he pours out all his heart and all his mind in doing it. Okay? So much so that there's so much joy when he faces difficulty like that work, that he just wants to see it completed. Hallelujah. James 5:16 says that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Hallelujah. A man that is diligent will keep at his work, or will keep at looking for God at every cost that he will take him. Amen. So oftentimes people go to God when they need things, when we think that we have needs. Just like Anna, she was tired of the daring of Pelina, and she went to God and said, you need to give me a child. Okay? It's okay if you need something and you go to God, but there's something far better than that. That's what I'm saying this morning. There's something far better than when you need something, then you go to God in prayer. Because Psalm 23 says it all. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Amen. The only reason why you will not want is that the Lord is your shepherd. Amen. I think when Pastor Ashalui was here earlier in the year, she made us, and we all know that if you have 2 or 3 or 4 different flock of sheep that belong to different shepherds, when they mix together, each one of those animals knows that this is my shepherd. So when it's time to leave that field, okay, each sheep or whatever follows the shepherd without being told. Hallelujah. Meaning that there is that connection between the flock and the shepherd. So the shepherd knows his flock, and then his flock also know him. Amen. So if Psalm 23 will work for you and I, okay, you know, when we give birth, we open Psalm 23 under the pillow and put the head of the child there. Hallelujah. I say, well, you have to walk. Amen. Hallelujah. When Psalm 23 says the Lord is my shepherd, it's because that you are following that shepherd and you are listening to that shepherd. That's when you will not want. Amen. It's not an automatic thing for you, just in case you don't know. So when we say these things, we need to look at it. God will always keep his own side of the bargain, but we have to keep our own side of the bargain as well. So when there's a contract between two people, okay, always remember, if you have a business transaction with anybody, whether in church or out of church, okay, keep your own side of the bargain. Hallelujah. Keep your own side of the bargain. Don't defraud one another. If you learn not to defraud one another, it will be so easy for you to keep your own bargain with God. Amen. Because if you cannot keep simple bargain that you have with a human being, how are you going to keep bargaining with God? It's just logical. So if, for instance, in December, I had, sometime in November, I got a contract for someone to deliver. I think to deliver some certain things for an event. But that time, we were in Ibadan, Popular Convention. We were in Ibadan. So even me, that got the contract, I just knew that, look, this person will deliver. Okay? But I got it as far back as probably maybe like 3 weeks before then. And then they paid the upfront. And then I told them that I will not be around for that function. I have to be in Ibadan. And then the contractor I got also has to be in Ibadan. So the two of us will be in Ibadan. Event will be happening in Lagos while we are raising up holy hands in Ibadan. Hallelujah. Amen. So me, I'm supposed to manage the person. I'm in Ibadan. The person that's supposed to deliver is in Ibadan. But guess what? They delivered. They delivered. By the time I was even sending them SMS at the event that I hope these people have delivered, they told me that they are delivered. Because one is a contract. Okay? You have to play your part, irrespective of where you are. You say, I am sorry, I didn't remember that I'll be in Ibadan, so I can't deliver again. And yes, you have collected money. And then you now pray to God and say, God, help me out. How is he going to help you out? When you deal with the person next to you, or in your neighbor, or anybody in your neighborhood, whether the person is a Christian or not, always remember that you have to keep your side of the bargain. Amen. So Psalm 23 will work for the people that truly the Lord is their shepherd. Amen. We know that God is merciful. He causes the rain and the sun to shine on the good and the wicked. That's just normal. So it's just normal. So if you say the barest thing you can get, that's just normal. When you go the extra mile, you will get access to what God has truly given to you. Amen. Now, in the book of Psalm 103, verse 7. Psalm 103, and I'm going to read verse 7. The Bible says here that, okay, let me read from verse 6. It says, the Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. Hallelujah. Amen. It says, he made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. That's the difference between when we say God is merciful now. He causes the sun to rise on the wicked and on the good. That's the difference. To the man that truly has the Lord as the shepherd. It says here that he made his ways known to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. So that when you know God's way, you are able to follow his path. Hallelujah. That's the difference. The children of Israel were seeing God's acts. They were seeing, God is here. Oh, God is here. But Moses understood how to get along that path to get God to show those things that he was showing them. Amen. So if they needed a miracle, they needed water from the wilderness, Moses knew how to get God to do it. What the Israelites were seeing was the end product of a man that knew the way of God. Hallelujah. So he will simulate the way of God. The children of Israel will see the acts of God and they'll be like, oh, God is with us. Amen. But it took one man understanding the ways of God for them to see the effect of God that they thought they knew. Amen. I'm very careful with my words. For them to see the acts of the God that they thought they knew. Amen. There is a difference in knowing someone and being acquainted with someone. Hallelujah. You know, our mothers take pride in holding on to us, the men. Abi? So when we get married, our wives are subject to them. They say, this is my son. Somebody that I labored all these years for, blah, blah, blah. But they never leave those children. Because once we are married, we move to our house. You and your husband, you and your wife, you move to your house, then you leave your mother. Now, over time, when you first marry, your mother will tell you, I know my son. Is it like? If you like, don't answer me. It's very true. If I've not seen it, at least we see it in Nollywood. They say, I know my son. It's my son. I labored all this, blah, 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 blah. And this is what he's supposed to do. It must be his wife that is teaching him not to do what he's supposed to do. Now, over time, after some years, do you know that the mother, if she begins to lay claim that she knows that son, she will be in error? Right? Because time has passed. Things will have changed. She will still hold on to the things that she knows. Amen. And then she will still be living in that era of the past. When we were growing up, we were three. My junior brother. See, I've learned so much from my family. From my father, to my mother, my sister, and my junior brother. My father taught me one thing. That there is something in his name. In his own name, not God's name. So each time he would sit down and say, look, this my name is very important. It's very precious. I don't know what he did with that name. But tell him it's very precious. Anywhere you go, make sure that you keep my name. Aveta. Then my mother will show me how to diligently do things. When I see her, why do you want to die here? She said, no. I have to do this. I have to make sure this is happening. And I see her multitasking. Okay? And then I pick that one. For my father, I pick my name. Abby. For my mother, I pick the diligence. But I saw in my sister the zeal to always be above her peers. There is nowhere you find my sister. You can't find her at the back. Oh. She's always in front. Whether it's academic wise or anything, you just say, where is Bukola? He's in front. Academics is in front. I don't know. I just wonder. And is the same, and the two of us were reading the same Bible. We will read the same Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I will go to exam room, I will come back, I'll be wanting. She will come back, she will not want. What's the difference? Hallelujah. And then from my junior brother, very enterprising young man. If my brother wants to sell Mr. Sajere's shoes, my brother will sell it. And Mr. Sajere will consent without knowing. Do you get what I'm saying? If he wants to sell Mr. Sajere, it's not his own shoes, though. It's Mr. Sajere's shoes. My brother will sell it. Mr. Sajere will not feel cheated. Mr. Sajere will really say, okay, you want to sell it? Take. I'll sell it. And then the guy will sell and will come back. I will tell you, I've sold. And then he'll tell you, take. So when I was growing up, I said, he was in SS2. Senior secondary too. Me, I'd left. I was in the university. So I came home. No. It was in SS1. I was about to go into the university, so I was at home. Then he came home to me that afternoon and said, he has a problem. I said, what's the problem? He said he gave printer the program for the school inter sport, and the guy was not going to deliver. He was supposed to deliver that day, but the inter sport was the following day. But the guy was supposed to deliver that day. And the guy was not delivering. And that's what is tomorrow. So he came to call me. I said, number one, how did you, SS1, get to print the school inter-house program? He said, Lipsy, just leave that one. There's Wala. So I got up and I went with him. I went to the printer. When I got to the printer, You know, it's now that I started learning to smile. I was not smiling. So when I got to the printer, I just stood before the printer and I asked him to be talking. I was just looking at the printer. The printer looked at my face, looked at the boy, said, "Sir." He was talking to me. He wasn't talking to the boy that was talking. He said, "Sir." I said, "He said, sir, it will be ready this evening." I was just looking at it. I didn't say one word, though. I was just looking. When he finished, that evening, it was ready. But so I went back and said, "How on earth did this boy?" And the school released money to him. Don't forget, I'm coming from the people that know the way of God and the acts of God. And I just told you the influence of these four people in my life. If you will think that you know God, let us look at the story of Paul. When he was Saul. Abi? What was striking about him? When he was Saul. He was persecuting the church. So if Saul was here, as we read, "The Lord is my shepherd," he will get up and tell you. He will finish that psalm for you. Do you understand what I'm saying? He will help you recite that psalm and then negate everything that is negatable. Pardon me. He will negate everything that he wants to negate. Okay? But yet, he did not have God on the inside of me. He had the letters. He could tell. He could tell anything. He told them, said, "I was born Hebrew. I know he was with the Pharisees. He knew the law. He knew everything." Yet, he was not considered by God as knowing God. So if you recite Psalm 23 from now to tomorrow, or you recite the whole Bible, it's not enough that you know God. It took an encounter with God for Paul to see the vanity of all the things that he thought he knew. Everything he knew then, before that encounter, did not profit him. Abi? It did not, because he was persecuting the church. But immediately he had that encounter, there was light in his heart. Hallelujah. So much so that he now began to see in the things that he already thought he knew about God, he now began to see and then began to live by those things. Amen. Philippians chapter 3. I want to read from verse 4. Okay, let me read from verse 3. It says Philippians 3 from verse 3. "Say, for we are the circumcision who worship God in spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." He says, "Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day." So this is Paul talking about himself. Okay? He said, "I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Hallelujah. But one things were gained to me, these things are counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is from true faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Amen. Let me take this thing again. He says that in verse 6, he says, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. So, and you know all these things, if you look at these things, they didn't look anything. It looked like things that were spiritual. Abi, he was circumcised. He had zeal, okay? He was circumcised on the eighth day. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. Uh-huh. Then he was of the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, he was persecuting the church. Concerning the righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. And Paul was very deliberate. Said, concerning the righteousness, which is in the law. Meaning that everything that the law provided for, he fulfilled. Everything. He will wash his hand, wash his head. He wash his hand, wash his head, wash everything, wash him. He was just that righteous with the law. But that did not make him have access to God. He says here that, but what things were gained to me? So he thought, he had all those things. I mean, he was circumcised, he's zealous, he knows the law, he's keeping the law. He says, these things I thought were gained. He considered them what? He said, but these things were gained to me, these I counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all these things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Amen. Well, so that we will not be in error. Some people, when they follow the law, they will say that they are righteous. And we call them pious. Pious people. Okay? When they enter the church, they will bow at the door, they will bow by the pew. Hallelujah. So problem if there's no problem about that. But the righteousness which is of by faith in Christ is what we should hold on to, is what is needful. The story of Paul just makes everything plain to us. If Paul had all those things in place, yet God felt, no, there's something lacking. And then he appeared to him and said, Why are you persecuting me? Amen. Because he had no Christ. And what did Paul say? He said, all those things that he counted as gain, it was lost so that he can gain Christ. Hallelujah. So by gaining Christ, he will have faith in God, faith in Christ. And then the ways of God will no longer be mysterious to him. Was no longer mysterious. At the point, Paul said that he thanks God that he speaks in tongues more than the whole church. It's just interesting how a man can say that he speaks in tongues more than the whole church. But you know it's possible. You know it's doable. So, in my office, when they want to do, I think I've told you before, when they want to do quizzes, they do quizzes. They tell us maybe 2 days ahead that quiz will be at so time. Okay? And then there's always a price attached to it, maybe 10,000. All of us will be walking. But I put that in the back of my mind. So once it's quarter to that time, anything I'm doing, and I won't do anything serious anymore. Quarter to that time, if they say they will release the question by 12, by quarter to 12, I'm done with whatever I'm doing in the office. I'll just be waiting for that quiz. All my colleagues, all of them will just be walking, say, no, it's 12 o'clock, 12 o'clock. By the time it's 12, when they send the quiz, I'll be done within the first 5 minutes, and I'm done, and I go back to work. Some of them will see the questions, maybe 12:30. Some of them will see it, maybe 10 minutes after. But I see it exactly when they send it. And it's usually questions you can answer. And it's the first people to answer. And then they'll give us money. So one particular year, I think it was the year before COVID, for every one they sent, I won 10,000 naira practically every month. So when it was December, I carried 120,000 naira voucher. I went to Ibadan. You can't suppose 110,000 legal. Every month, I won 12. So I carried that 120,000 naira voucher. I went to Ibadan, went to my mom, my family in Ibadan. I took everybody, I said, everybody, let's go to ShopRite. Just say, I say, Uncle Emwa is here. I say, yes, I'm here. So I told my wife, I said, as we enter the shop, they cannot spend more than 120,000. Because it's only 120,000 that is free money that I have. So as they go to the shop, they will say, they will ask, can they take it? I just tell them, talk to, because I can't be telling them don't take it. I can't be calculating now. I just tell them, ask your auntie. And then we go back and we pay. But what I'm saying is that for the first month, it will happen. Second month, it will happen. Third month. Then everybody will start complaining. Now, why is it only you that is winning the prize? I said it's simple now. I have watched what these people have said. And they keep to time. If they tell you 12 o'clock, they will send it at 12 o'clock. But you guys think that you are very pious, diligent. When the people that own the work say at 12 o'clock, they squeeze for you to answer. First come, first serve. Eh? You that they say should do the work, you say you are working. You will not answer question. Then when me answer, you not say, it seems that your work is not much. I say, no, go and tell the people that sent the quiz that they are the ones that didn't give me work at that point in time. So I said, it's very simple. I watch and I study. Eh? And I've studied that they never miss that time. So if I clear my table well before that time, I'm not in error. I said, all of you, you think that it's work. That's when you know somebody's ways and somebody's act. So I'm telling you these things. And once I'm done with the question, I go back to my work. Anything done, no shaking. Now, if you think you know God, it has to be that you know God in Christ. That's why I went through reading Philippians 3. It says here that Philippians 3, verse 9, says, no, let me see from verse 8. It says, yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. It says, for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. And look at what he said afterwards, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Amen. Hallelujah. So he let go of everything that he thought that were of importance to him before. And so that the excellence of the knowledge of Christ, he might gain it. Okay? And then he counted all things as loss and said, look, my righteousness is no longer in the law, but by faith in Christ. If you will know God. Amen. It has to be by faith in Christ. It has to be that you forget about all the righteousness that you have concerning the law and be in tune with Christ. Because you know what? The Bible tells us that in him all things consist and nothing was made without Christ. Hallelujah. So the things that you are holding on to actually subsist in Christ. So if you make those things more important to you than where they subsist, you are very soon going to lose them. Amen. Hallelujah. If you, how do I say it? So if you have, that's why my people, they say something, that all the enablement or the power that the wife has, it belongs to the husband. That's how they say it in Yoruba land. Meaning that if you see a woman and she's dishing out things in authority, that's marriage, be sure that she has a backing. That's why she's doing that in her husband. So if you see, and then you see the woman come and she's doing things and you know with so much authority and everything, it's because she understands that she has a backing. And she's keeping her backing. Okay? If she does it without her husband's backing, the man can come and scatter everything and say, what are you doing? And then it's all nothing. And that's why they tell us that husband and wife, you are supposed to work in unison. No one is blaming the other person. The man says, I won't be like Adam and say, it's the one that is with me. You take responsibility for whatever you are doing. Hallelujah. So what I'm saying is, if whether I know it or not, or whether you know it or not as a man, if your wife goes out in the capacity of your name and does anything, you must take responsibility for it. Because if you are told that before going out, or you have instilled in her the right things before going out, she won't do anything in that capacity except she gets back to you. Amen. Everything has to be as a foundation. And what I'm saying is that the foundation of the things that we want to hold on to must be in Christ. If it's not in Christ, in a little while, it will fade away. Hallelujah. We don't need the encounter of Paul again anymore. You know that we are the blessed generation, Abby? We are the ones that everybody in the Bible wrote about. That then they saw, for to us a child is born, and everything that Isaiah and everybody saw, they were seeing into the future, they were seeing into now. So imagine in the days of the Ephesians, they did not have a book to refer to. They had to make do with the relationship they had with Paul and what they knew about Christ when he was around. But now, we have Romans 15 verse 4 that teaches us that everything that was written before, please let me display it, Romans 15 4. This is Bible Sunday school this morning. It says, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Everything that was written before, they were written for us to learn from. Hallelujah. So we are riding on the wings of the people that had gone before us. We're supposed to be better because we have better promises in Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. When the Bible says that we will mount on high like eagles, it's because the eagle is a sharp animal. When there's a storm or a strong wind, the eagle will follow that wind. It will use the strength of the wind to carry it. It will make sure that the strength of that wind is what carries it to the next high pinnacle it wants to go to. It does not flap its wings or try to get to that high pinnacle. When the wind comes, it looks at it and says, oh, I'm going to follow this thing. And then it's going to follow it, and the wind will be the one to carry it to the next high pinnacle. It's not the bird that flies the highest. It's not. It's just that it mounts on high effortlessly. Are you getting what I'm saying? It does not use so much strength, like other birds, to mount on high. It simply follows the wind. Amen. If you and I will get to where God will want us to get to, we have to learn what Paul learned. Okay? Without going through Paul's experience. Hallelujah. You know Paul's experience? That he was on his way to, where was he going? He was going to Damascus, thank you. And then God appeared to him, light suddenly shone, and then he lost his sight, right? And then he said, go to the street called Street. There you see Ananias, blah, 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 and he was giving instruction. He went there blind. But you know the turmoil that will have been in his heart when he was going? He no longer can see. Eh? Someone that was fighting and was persecuting the church, now the owner of the church is saying he has made him blind. And then he's telling him that when you get there, How is Paul? I'm just thinking, how did Paul believe that he will see, or when he gets there, he will see that Ananias, somebody that was persecuting the church? Are you getting me? There'll be a problem. His mind will not be settled, whether we like it or not. It will be like this way, that way, this way. Well, we don't need to go through that experience. Do you need God to appear to you and shine light on your face anymore? There's enough example in the Bible. That's why the Bible says those things were written for our learning. So that we, through the comfort of the scriptures, will have hope. You have to know him for who he is. You have to know him for who he is. God doesn't need to come and demonstrate plagues anymore for us to know that he has a strong hand to deliver. All we need to do is look in his word. In the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 9, Daniel chapter 9, I'm going to read from verse 1. What to read? It says, in the first year of Darius, Daniel chapter 9 from verse 1. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the lineage of Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he will accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Since then I set my face towards the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Let us stop there. Daniel said, I, Daniel, understood by the books. Hallelujah. The things that were written by Jeremiah. He said, look, I understood by the books, okay, that by the books, the number of years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he will accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Hallelujah. So Daniel definitely knew that there's God, right? And then he also understood that there's learning in the books. Also, we say we should read the Bible. It's not punishment. It's so that we can learn from it and then apply the words of the scripture to our present time. Hallelujah. The Bible has already recorded it, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It will not change. Amen. It does not change. What will change are the times and seasons. And then the demonstrations or dispensations of God in those times and seasons will be. Amen. But if you want to know the ways of God, they are written, hallelujah, for you to learn and then to apply. Amen. So I'll go back to the story of my family I was telling you. So in time past, so after that time that my brother did all his business deals, I was always antagonizing him. If he says one thing, we're always fighting. We always fight. Then he traveled. And ever since, he has traveled, since 1996. He traveled at the age of 16. Since 1996, he has traveled. He has left me to be fighting with the wind. And so even while you are... while he was, I traveled, he would do some things. I would just tell my mom that, what's all this wahala? I don't have energy. Then suddenly I had a revelation from God. And I suddenly stopped the antagonism. And so one day, he sent a message home and he just scattered everybody with wahala. And then my mother now called me. And she was just going on and on and on. And I said, you need to calm down. She froze. I said, just leave the boy. He'll be fine. She said, I hope you heard what I said. I said that he did this. I said, and then I concluded for her, and then he did that. And I said, what I said is that you need to calm down. She said, what on earth has happened to you? Ordinarily, she was expecting that it would be fire for fire. Once he has said it, I will carry it and fan the fire. Then the fire will... I said, no, you need to calm down. Time that I was with her, she was used to the fact that if anything happens, I'll blow hot. Over time, I changed. Things are different because of the knowledge of God. I say, if blowing hot and cold will solve any situation, then we'll have solved all the problems in this country now. Abi? We'll have solved all the problems. Let's say dollar is 1,000, we just blow hot, they just quickly bring it to 180. Abi? I think it was on Monday I woke up and I saw fuel queue all over. I said, these people want to increase the price again. Yeah, by yesterday when I went out, I saw that they had increased the price. It's just their way. Once they want to increase the price, you just wake up. There will be fuel queue for 1 day, 2 days. After that, and everybody will keep quiet. The only thing that unites us in this country is football. I called somebody this morning as early as 6 a.m. Guy is in Canada. Say, how are you? Say, are you praying for us to win? So the ones in diaspora too, is the only thing that unites us is football. If we can carry that spirit of unison in football to our daily activity, we'll be fine. So I said, when I finished saying, my man said, why are you not complaining? I said, because I understand better. Daniel said, I understand by the books. And so what he read in the books guided his prayer. And when his prayer was answered, it was not because he prayed anything fantastic. It was because he prayed in God's will. Hallelujah. So many other people were in Israel at that point in time. And all of them would have missed that time. But that time, he stepped in and then he began to pray by the things he read in the books. If you look at verse 20, because he continued praying from that verse 5. Then from verse 20 says, while I was praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord, my God, for the holy mountain of my God, yes, while I was praying in prayer, speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of evening offering, and informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand. At the beginning of your supplications, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and the vision and understand the vision. Amen. His prayer caught the attention of heaven because he aligned with the will of God. As long as we pray in the will of God, we will see God move. The will of God is the word of God. Hallelujah. If you want to understand anything, see, what we need, God will provide. Honestly speaking, what you need, God will provide. Don't disturb yourself. Don't disturb yourself. I woke up this morning. It's not heavenly alert. When I say, Pastor, I say, you got alert from heaven. I woke up this morning, 3:25 a.m. I saw this credit. I don't know where it came from. Now you finish service, you can come and check it. I don't know where it came from. But I told you last week that every day, every time that I need money, money comes. Why? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I looked at this description on the thumbnail and said, what's this one? I looked at it again. It's a credit. You're laughing. It's not from heaven, no. It's a credit. It's from one bank to another bank. Somebody sent it. Who sent it? I don't know. And it's not an account that everybody knows. You know, there's some accounts that you just give out. Everybody just sends money anyhow. This one, nobody knows. Like that. If it's a reversal, I don't know. Because they didn't even put reversal there. But I'm saying that God takes care of these minor things. You major on the major. Anna understood that if she poured out her heart, God will get it. Hallelujah. Daniel understood by the books that this is the time that this desolation, this period is the time that God has mentioned that he will liberate his people. And he began to pray. If you will not read, you will not understand. Amen. Because even while you are praying, while Anna was praying, the man of God, what's his name? Eli, went to her, interrogated her, and then gave her a word. It was when he said that word that she left happy. Abby? Daniel was praying, and then Gabriel came and said, don't worry, this vision, you will understand it. By the books. The books make you to understand God and know the ways of God. And the Holy Spirit said, right? Christ said that his experience that he goes, then the Spirit will come. He will bring to remembrance everything that I have taught you. What the Spirit is saying is nothing new. What the Spirit is saying is bringing to remembrance everything that Christ had taught. So in case you are missing it at a point in time, he brings it to your remembrance. Hallelujah. He will take you to the scriptures and say, this is how it is written. Are you getting it? If you are not going to be working with the Spirit, you will be missing out on it. It's just like, I don't know how we survived, though, but we survived. When I was going to school, there was nothing like Google. There was no Google when I went to school. There was no Google when I went to school. When I was doing secondary school, there was no Google. It's whatever, you carry dictionary, and you go to, and you carry encyclopedia, and you'll be reading it. And whatever information you get at that point is what you have. I don't know why this generation cannot make use of what they have. Even with Google, they don't know. It's interesting. I remember all those textbooks. We read them, read them, read them. We don't have any other thing to... There's no ChatGPT that you quickly ask question and then we tell you the answer. And that means that you can know more of the Bible now. It's easier now. So if anybody was diligent in the time that I'm talking about, that there was no Google, if anybody needs to know, how do I know God's ways? By the scriptures. Don't go and type, how do I know God's will? Because a lot of rubbish is on the internet. If you type by the scriptures, it will refer you to the Bible. Abi? Knowing God is very essential. If Paul could drop all that made him Paul, you know, he was the one, when they were stoning Stephen, he was the one that collected everybody's clothes. So all those people that wanted to stone Stephen. You know, when you want to fight, some people would take off their jacket. It was Saul that was collecting, yeah, bring it, don't worry. Stone him, bring it, don't worry. He read the letters, but the help of the Holy Spirit was not there. That's our advantage, the Holy Spirit. Because when we read, our eyes of understanding will be enlightened. Then we begin to know God on a daily basis. The Holy Spirit is our advantage. Because if I read and I don't understand, of what use? When Daniel read, said he understood by the books. The angel came and said, look, you understand this vision the more. He got help. If your heart so desire it, God will make it available. If you will not want, make the Lord your shepherd. Let us rise up. Let knowing Christ be the ultimate thing. And that's going to cause struggle. Because you have to drop certain things that you are used to. You have to let them go. Paul said, I count them loss. But whatever is gained is what he has gained in Christ. So to him, those things are nothing. Hallelujah. But what he has gained, righteousness of God in Christ, that's all that he needs. Because once you have Christ, you have everything that you ever need. Just give God thanks this morning. Thank him because you are going to start an adventure with him. Getting to know him on a daily basis. You don't run to God and say, God, give me this. No, no, no. Get to know God on a daily basis. He's your father. Just like the prodigal son that went back home to his father. By the time he was returning, the father opened his arms and killed his fatted cow. And made things even still available for him. God is always ever waiting and ever ready for them that will return unto him. Knowing him is the ultimate and should be our ultimate. Thank him this morning. And that's going to be our story. We yearn for God the more and more in our lives in Jesus' name. Father, we give you all the praise and glory. Thank you for your word. Thank you because you're stirred up in our heart a longing and a desire to know you the more. Though we don't want just the acts of God, but we want to be able to know his ways that leads to those acts. Father, we give you all the praise, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.